This is Deep Blue senior producer Cleon Wall. Jason Shepherd will be back next week with UFC fighter and BYU alumnus Weston Wilson. Weston didn't get super serious about the sport until he was married and was a student in Provo. It's a terrific tale, so make sure you come back next week to listen to Weston's story. In the meantime, we thought we would share with you an episode of the podcast, Legends of 84. It's a 13-part series with some of the influential figures surrounding BYU's 1984 National Championship football team. This episode focuses on legendary head coach Lavelle Edwards. His wife, Patty, and son, Jim, share insights into his character, faith, and leadership. After you finish listening to it, check out the entire series of Legends of 84 wherever you listen to podcasts. Now, here is Episode 6, Lavelle Edwards, the man, the coach, the legacy.
This is Legends of 84, the story of BYU's remarkable national championship football team, told by the men who changed the world of college football and were forever transformed by that unforgettable season.
We knew we were going to be good. How good? Nobody knows.
I just never thought we'd lose. And each game that we won, we got more and more confident.
But once we played next to each other, we protected one another.
If you're not willing to prepare, then you're not going to be ready to win.
We are a peculiar people. We need to embrace that.
Right, Brigham Young University has won the Holiday Bowl 24-17, and the Cougars are the only undefeated team in the nation. And I think they'll be number one.
There's Lavelle Edwards, 12 seasons, 105 ball games, never coached anywhere else, and what a job he's done. He loves it out in Provo.
I met Lavelle on a blind date at Utah State University. I am Pat Edwards, Lavelle Edwards' wife. I was a freshman, and he was a big man on campus, big football player. A friend of his lined us up, and I knew from the first date that I loved him. I don't know how long it took him for me, but I was not a football fan. I had never seen a football game in my life, and I never wanted to see a football game in my life. However, I had a roommate that loved football. So she would go to all the home games that Lavelle played, and he was really a good football player. In fact, he could have played in the pros if it hadn't been other situations. But she'd come home and tell me everything that he did in that game. Well, that night when we'd go on a date, I could tell him everything he did. He was really impressed with my knowledge of football. Finally, I realized that my lies might bite me, so I just had to keep up and let him still think that I knew everything he did and that he was a wonderful football player and all that stuff. And he didn't know until we were on our honeymoon that I had never seen him play in a football game. And for the first 5 years of our marriage, I really hoped that football would go away, but it didn't. And it was after that fifth year that I realized, hey, I better change my attitude toward it. I better enjoy the game a little bit more. And if not, I'll be left behind. So when I jumped on the roller coaster of football, I did it with both feet, and I've never been sorry.
And there's the man who's largely responsible for that offensive machine, Lavelle Edwards, in his 13th.
Sports Illustrated came out one day to interview Lavelle. And then when the magazine was published and came out, he read a passage in it said that Lavelle Edwards, a rather large, chumpy guy with a bit of a vision. And he read it and he said, Pat, what does that mean? And I said, it means you're a fat daydreamer.
My dad loves that. He enjoyed it when my mom would say something. My mom's got a great sense of humor. This is Jim Edwards, son of Lavelle Edwards. He had this great ability of being a dreamer, but a realist at the same time.
You can be assured that this Brigham Young team can just run its normal offense and still put points on the board. Lavelle Edwards, premier coach in the passing game today, college football.
I was a huge BYU football fan for obvious reasons. But when my dad was about to be given the job as head coach at BYU football, I was so excited. I would ask him every day, did he get the job? Did he get the job? And this was in the early 70s. So they weren't big press conferences or whatever, but he got the job and he walked across campus to Wasatch Elementary School, which was right across 9th East from the BYU campus. And he got me out of the third grade, took me out to the side of the building and told me that he was named the head coach at BYU, and I was so excited. After that point, during spring practice and many a fall afternoons, I would walk from the school across the BYU campus and watch practice. And I knew the players' names, I knew their positions, I knew where they were on the depth chart. I just knew so much about the program, and I loved it.
Is ready for the cold. He's got the stocking cap. He's got the jacket up around his neck.
His expression hasn't changed though. From the beginning of the ball game to now, he just sits there looking fairly grim. Game is being played.
Talking about his grumpy face, he always would say, "I'm a happy person. I just haven't told my face." The thing I found interesting, we have two sons that are good athletes, but that was not what he dwelt on with his children. He wanted them to succeed at what they were doing and to reach their potential. For him, he just didn't particularly care if they played football. And Jim, our youngest son, did play football, and he was on that national championship team.
The 1983 season was a very special team. We had Steve Young and Gordon Hudson and this Jim Edwards, wide receiver. And we ended up finishing somewhere between 5-7 in the polls. We were 13-1. We were traveling from Oak Hills to the Smithfield House. It was a cold day. There was snow on the ground. And I asked my dad, "Do you think BYU could ever end up number one?" He said, "Yes, but it will be hard for a team from the Intermountain West to be ranked number one because it will be hard to get the votes back east to do it." A few weeks later, spring practice had started and it was snowy. It was dark and dreary, and for every reason why people might be discouraged or despondent, having to be out there for spring football was there. But the team responded incredibly. Offense was running crisp routes and everything was good, and the defense was flying around and hitting hard. And at the end of the practice, my dad mentioned, he said, "This kind of effort can lead to great things." There was a lot of room for excitement. Then a few months later in the summer, when everybody was off on summer vacations, Craig Garrick, who was a captain, sent a letter to us and he said, "Be ready, come back in shape." Essentially, he was saying, let's go do this. So we came back and we were pretty ready to go. It was a great fall and everybody was ready.
I really like this guy. He wasn't supposed to play. Lavelle Edwards, who really cares about his players, just like Coach Fazio, he told him, he says, "You ought to give it up. You're talking about bone against bone with that knee." He says, "No, I want to play," and he can still run. I watched him yesterday. He can move.
Has no cartilage in his left.
One of Lavelle's strengths was that he hired really good people, and he surrounded himself with good people that probably knew more about certain situations of the game than he did. And then he let them coach. But I think perhaps that was one of his successes. It was like a family organization. He knew his players' families. He was really good at remembering names and where they came from.
He made it known right from the start, culture before scheme. This is Norm Chow. And Lavelle Edwards epitomized that. He was in charge of a culture. He had very little to do with the scheme, but he'd always say, "Hey, that's why I hired all of you as assistants. You guys take care of the scheme." He would take care of the culture, making sure the players were going to class, doing what they were supposed to be doing. And I think that's what made him so unique, and that's what allowed him to have the success he did.
He always preached family and friends, faith first, but family and friends were very important in his life. This is Leon White, linebacker. He exemplified it every day with his family and his wife, Patty. They're such a close couple that you couldn't help but rub off on you. And the way he treated players, the way he treated coaches, the respect that he gave them, it just rubs off on you. It's something that you want to emulate. And he was one of the greatest people that I ever knew.
My first impression of Lavelle, we sat down in the living room and we had one of those stand-up bikes. This is Robbie Bosco, quarterback. When you started pedaling it, you had to slow down yourself with the pedals. It wasn't like you could just stop and then the wheel would just go. So Lavelle got on that bike and was pedaling like a crazy man. I'm like, this is pretty cool. He's like me. And then he started pedaling and then bam, he couldn't stop. So he took his feet out and spread eagle, and those tires and the wheels were just cranking. It was the funniest thing. And he made it super funny too. He made it super comfortable and he just made it like he's your best friend. My parents just fell in love with him. Lavelle was something special. So the first time I ever met him and was able to talk to him and understand what BYU was all about was when they came to my house in Roseville to try to talk me into coming to BYU.
It's BYU football coach Lavelle Edwards, who has one of the best coaching records in America right now. His overall record, 106 games, lost 37, tied 1 in 12 years, starting his 13th.
We knew it as a family. We knew we were number one. And when he came home across that threshold, football was last. They'll really prioritize. We knew we were number one, and we knew his word was very important to him. And I think that was wonderful too, is the loyalty that Lavelle had to BYU and the loyalty that BYU had to Lavelle. He never had a contract until the last 2 years, and he could have gone to many different schools. One of them was University of Minnesota, and they just kept after him, and finally his excuse was, well, my wife is an only child. Her parents are a little elderly, and she doesn't feel like she would like to leave them. The president of the University of Minnesota called me and said, we have a wonderful, wonderful place for your parents, a retirement center, if your husband will take the job. And I said, he's not interested in the job, but I appreciate talking to you. And so I said, you'll have to work it out with him. Then after the conversation ended and Lavelle came home that night, I said, just say no and take him off my back. Some of the hardest was turning down some of these real lucrative jobs. When he turned down the Detroit Lion job, we'd be flown to these different schools and everything was so quiet and hush-hush about it. But then he came home one night. We were in Detroit at the time, and he came home and he said, you know, I'm getting a message. He said, I'm being interviewed for this job with a big, big salary. But he said, all I can think about is recruiting at BYU. So he said, that's my answer. I'm not going to take the job.
Lavelle always taught us a great lesson. He says, don't go about worrying about the things you can't have control of. The media and coaches vote on who's going to be the national championship. What do? You can't control that. You control your social life. You can control your academics. You can control your spirituality. You take care of those three things, football will take care of itself. I know a lot of players took that to heart.
The night before the Michigan game, I remember Glenn Kozlowski getting up, and one of the great attributes of Glenn is he was passionate and he was a fiery competitor. This is Jim Edwards, and you would never question his effort or desire because he wanted to win. But he gets up and he starts talking, and he said something that always has resonated with me. Look, it's pretty simple. All you have to do is outplay the person ahead of you. Meaning, if you're a receiver and there's a DB covering you, you know, you just have to outplay or beat that cornerback that's covering you. Or if you're a cornerback playing against, you know, one of Michigan's receivers, you just got to outplay that receiver. If you're a lineman, you know, so on. You just have to take care of the person that you are going up against. In a way, it was just saying, look, you need to block out all the other stuff. Just focus on what it is that you can control. And that was a theme that the coaching staff at BYU, the great coaches that we all had, that was kind of something like was always prevalent in our meetings, is you just focus on what we can control and things will work themselves out. But Glenn had said that night, and it just really resonated.
And, you know, we go on and play that game. And, you know, Robbie got hurt and Blaine came in and did a good job. And then, you know, we played pretty well, but we maybe hadn't scored as many points as we'd wanted to. But when the time came down towards the end of the game, when plays had to be made, I think that attitude that Glenn had mentioned really came into play. You know, we end up winning the game.
Lavelle Edwards, with that same expression on his face as you would expect. He's one of the few guys, he's got his doctorate. Do you know that? Mm-hmm. One of the few coaches in college football.
He was not a pious man. He gave his children blessings, and he ordained his sons to the priesthood, and he loved the Lord. He tried to do the best he can. He made mistakes along the way, just like all of us, but he really tried to do the best he could. And he was really able to go to a job he loved every day of his life. I think that in itself is a good example to people, is to choose what you love to do and go after it, and not try to go after something that maybe will make more money or this type of thing.
He was a great coach, and that 1984 team was a great team, great experience. We had a very good offense. We had an awesome defense. We had special teams. We had a number of players on that team ended up playing in the NFL. It was a legitimately great team, and it was a great experience. And my dad was a coach, and he has a lot of accolades as a coach, but as good as coaches, he was a much better father. There was never any doubt in our home what was most important to him. It was his relationship with Jesus Christ and his family. That was the most important thing to him.
To know the pressures of winning, to know the pressures of being successful, to keeping a job, Lavelle did all that. But the one thing, when I look at Lavelle Edwards, or when I think of Lavelle, is my home away from home father figure that he was to me. And to have a head coach that honors his Melchizedek priesthood during his coaching time was a bishop. To have a dear wife that he has, of Patty Edwards, who would clip out every article and send a personal note to my mom and dad every week. You show me one other coach couple that does that or that will ever do that.
The one thing that I think he did too with his children is he respected them. It's like Joseph Smith said, you teach them the correct principles and then they govern themselves. And he believed in that.
I really appreciate the fact that my mom and dad were able to separate themselves from the fray of the importance of the team and the excitement surrounding the team and focus on us. And, you know, I will always love them for that and be appreciative of that.
Lavelle Edwards does not play to keep from losing. He plays to win. That's why a lot of coaches admire him.
Of course, I wanted him to succeed. And I wanted him to be able to accomplish the things in his profession that he wanted to accomplish. What I did, I went to the temple often, not to pray to win, but just to keep my priorities straight. Because it's hard when you're having all these people talk to you about football or that type of thing. Sometimes I had to keep my priorities straight, and that's what helped me. We just knew we were first with each other. And we had a sense of humor. We really had a sense of humor. Lavelle's kind of noted for his sense of humor. Our kids say that I have a better sense of humor than Lavelle. For us, it was the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in our life. It was like the yellow brick road. You follow it, and then you sit back and know that everything will be all right.
What are you going to do?
Well, I think for one thing, I probably like going on a mission. And I didn't go when I was younger, and so Patty and I will probably go somewhere. But I think the time will come that it's time to step aside. And I think when that time does come, then I think I'll know it.
The Lord knows where he needs people to help. And I think that's why we went to our mission in New York City, because he was able to, through football, open Harlem. They just had a branch there, and they had a hard time. They met in a Quonset hut and would draw the curtains for different rooms. When we got there, Duke Ferguson, who had played at San Diego State and who knew LaVell, asked him if he could help him establish a football team in Harlem. And because we were public affairs, LaVell knew the ins and outs of the red tape of Manhattan. And he worked through all of that, and he helped these kids. They didn't have a practice field. They practiced in an area where they had broken glass. None of them had a uniform on, and none of them had any type of an idea of what a game of football consisted of. So he helped Duke with this, and then LaVell got money from the NFL to buy their uniforms. When they got the uniforms, the kids didn't even know how to put a uniform on. The first game they played, of course, they lost. They played an all-white school, and the student body just gathered money up to help these kids. And on that team was a congressman from Harlem that just had no respect for the church, for our church at all. And by darn, by the time that season was over, he was one of the biggest supporters for us to build a three-story chapel now on the corner of the main drag in Harlem. So that just confirmed my belief that the Lord knows each of us individually and our strengths and where we need to be.
I was scared to go on a mission. This is Jim Edwards, son of LaVell Edwards. I was hoping that I'd get to the practice as a freshman and set the world on fire and I'd be catching touchdown passes right and left next to Glenn Kozlowski, who was also a freshman, same time I was. I wasn't going to get a call from what I perceived would maybe be a call from Salt Lake saying you need to be a football player instead of a missionary. That never happened. And I got hurt. We were at the Holiday Bowl, 1981. We were going to play Washington State in the Holiday Bowl. We went to lunch. The doctor had said I shouldn't practice anymore because they thought that it would create more damage in my leg. On a break, my dad and I and my mom went to a restaurant in Old Town San Diego and we just had lunch. And I was depressed and I didn't know what to do. And my dad said, have you ever thought about going on a mission? I think you should go on a mission. That just struck me. And I thought, okay, that's what I'm going to do. I got all my paperwork done and everything taken care of in like 2.5 weeks. And in about 3 weeks after the time I put my papers in, I got my call to serve a mission in Sweden. I'm so grateful that he had mentioned that to me because I knew that I should probably do that and maybe I would have gone anyway. But his suggesting that and saying, this is what I think you should do, gave me the confidence to know that I could do it and that I should do that.
It's going on 6 years. It doesn't get easier, but it becomes more manageable. I still, every time when a car drives up, I think it's LaVell coming home, and it isn't. I have the monitor to television now. I don't have to fight with him what television station I want to watch. This is when a widow has to recognize her own strength and recognize what she needs to do to help with this grief, because you can't sit around all the time and grieve. I don't think a lot of people know a lot about the hereafter, but you hope that he'll be the first one to greet me. You have to have hope in your life to be complete.
The winning of the championships must be acknowledged and must be respected because that is so hard to do. This is Trevor Maddich, center, especially with the consistency with which LaVell did it. But that's not what the real legacy is. When I went into the museum on campus in the football complex, the sports complex, when it was first built, I saw a former player standing in front of a trophy case with the national championship trophy and other trophies. And he had his kids with him. He was showing them what he did. And it dawned on me standing behind them watching that occur that the real trophies weren't the ones in the glass. The real success, the real triumph was represented by that father with his kids, who had a different kind of father than they ever would have had had it not been for Lavelle Edwards and the assistant coaches that he brought in to develop not just football players, but to develop men, and the wives that have a husband who is a far better husband, a far better man than he ever could have been had it not been for the influence of Lavelle and the assistant coaches that he surrounded us with. And as I saw that player, former player, with his kids pointing to the trophies that he won, my thought was, you know what? You are actually the representation of the success of Lavelle Edwards.